At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. What's more fun than talking to the Holderness family once? Talking to the Holderness family twice. This viral internet couple has taught us how to laugh, and now they're teaching us how to fight. I am so excited to be here today with you because I get to talk to one of my very favorite couples. I have Kim Holderness in my contacts of my phone. She doesn't know that because it's kind of stalkerish, but I do because I had her call me once for something, and so I saved it, and now I've not used it yet. However,
you can.
Is there a picture ID for it? We need to take one right now so that when she calls, it like comes up.
Oh my gosh! Yes. That's
something that let's do it. Ready?
Okay. Hold on.
Wait, I'll get out of it.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay. So that'll come up when she calls.
Perfect. It's like I'm coming through your screen.
Yeah.
I'm happy you have my phone number. Use it.
Well, I will now that I know that you all are so brilliant when it comes to fighting with your spouse. So, you know, the world knows you as this great couple that just seems to be just so playful and happy and fun. And I love that about you. However, now, after teaching us how to laugh, you are going to teach us how to fight in your new book coming out that's called Everybody Fights, So Why Not Get Better at It? How cool is this? I'm digging this. Where did the idea for this come from?
The fighting. It came from the counseling that we went to, juxtaposed with the comments that we have on our videos of people saying, you guys are the perfect couple.
Oh, relationship perfect. Goals.
You guys are amazing. How do you do it? I wish
we're
you
were like, no,
we're not
guys,
perfect.
No, we're not. Perfect. And so we wanted to create something. We're very passionate about this, and because anybody who's married knows this, even the best marriages hit some rough patches, right? Mm-hmm. And we hit ours and we got help. We went to counseling and we learned some principles and some tools that we still use every single day, and it transformed our relationship. So we would talk to friends about it, and we would, you know, talk on our podcast about it. And we thought, you know, the best way to do this is to put it in a book. So it's basically the 10 fights we think every couple has, which is, I do everything, you do nothing, you spend too much money, we aren't having sex enough, like all these like 10 fight topics with actual scripts that we wrote with our counselor of like, here's how you get out of this fight. Here are the magic words you can use to transform this. Because we think that like we don't fight every single day, but fighting can be a love language, right? You can learn more about your person by knowing their vulnerabilities, what's important to them, what their boundaries are. So we are so excited for this book to come out. And if it helps even just one couple come a little bit closer, mm-hmm. we'll call it a success.
Right. And the one thing it did for me as I was reading through it is it reminded me of how I used to fight. And in particular, stonewalling. Like my husband is wicked smart, like super fast thinker. And so we would be fighting and he would win because he's a better debater than I am. And I'm like, but it's my emotions. But all, you know, somehow he could twist that around and win. And so I would just stop speaking to him for days at a time. And this book reminded me, oh, wow, like somewhere along the way, We've worked some of these things out. That doesn't mean it's perfect, but gosh, yes, thank you that I am not where I was. Did you find that when you were writing the book as well?
Yes, we did. And also, I should note that stonewalling, I've heard that term about a gajillion times in the last year, because, you know, the biggest fights are the ones that you don't have. And when you get stuck together with somebody for an entire year, that can really stew and become uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those walls have either been built up even higher, or people have found ways to break through it. But we tried to give a name to that, you know, to make sure people knew what that was. We discovered fights we didn't know we were having while we were writing this book.
Yeah. And it's interesting because stonewalling was my MO, yes. Or I would like pull the ripcord, meaning I would just like parachute out. I'm like, no, I'm done. Like literally one time we write about like how I got out of a moving car. I was like, stop the car. I'm getting out. I'm walking up. And it's interesting you say that, because that's similar to our dynamic. He has like photographic memory. He's super smart. He whatever. And like, I would get so flustered, and there's like there's a response, like a biological response that happens when you're in this, like, it's like fight, flight, freeze. And my brain would just freeze. Yeah. And so he would have all the words that made a lot of sense. I'm like, no, that's not what and I would just freeze, and then I would just head for the hills. So now I discovered that about myself. So not even if it's just 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm just going to go into the other room, take 5 minutes deep breaths. I'm going to come back and I'm going to have like my thoughts together. Mm-hmm. And now we have like productive conversations.
So you talk in your book about magic words and, you know, please and thank you. Well, thank you is one of the magic words in your book, but would you talk about what those mean and how they can diffuse a situation?
Magic words are ways to make sure that your partner is feeling heard, and by validating them. That's the easiest way to put it. Some examples are, I hear you. Another example is if someone is saying something, repeating what they're saying. So what you're saying is, tell me more is one of the most valuable things you can say to someone who's in a fight, rather than redirecting back at them. And the biggest one for me that I learned was I feel. And I feel replaces you should, you always, or you never. Mm-hmm. When you get into fights, Kim mentioned what happens to your sympathetic nervous system and your inability to use words. When someone says, I'm so mad, I can't even talk to you right now, that's an actual physiological thing that's happening inside your brain. So I always I would just seize up and go to you always, you never, you're acting really snippy. You're doing we talk about all these things in the book. Well, that's projecting on them. If you use the magic word, I feel, those, like you said, Nicole, those are your feelings. Nobody can dispute those feelings. You talk about how you feel, then you get on to what the argument is.
I did in the beginning, I'm like, well, I feel that you're being terrible. And that doesn't work like that.
I feel that you should.
I feel that you should. Yeah,
no, that doesn't work. No.
So what I hear you saying is that I'm a bad wife. Like, you know.
But that's not what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Good point. What you really should try to summarize what the person is really feeling, not what you're feeling.
And honestly, these work for our kids.
I was just thinking that, Kim.
It's like on our way home from somewhere, whatever, where you have our kids, we love them. They're amazing. They're 11 and 14, and we don't get like a lot of information out of them. So it's like, how was your day? Fine. Tell me more. Like, yeah, I had lunch. We would just keep on doing the whole tell me more. And I hear that you're a little frustrated. I hear you. That's hard. It's transformed that relationship too.
Mm-hmm. I have a 14-year-old son. I know you have a 14-year-old daughter, and my 14-year-old son, he's a freshman in high school, and I've noticed that he is sensitive to my tone of voice. And so all of a sudden something will escalate into a fight. And I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Does that happen ever with Lola, or is she so chill for that?
Yeah. And I think she and I are so much alike.
Yeah.
And I know when she's doing that, fine. And it's all down to it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I can kind of tick each other off in a way that doesn't happen in that relationship, because we do the fine, I got it. Like all of those things that she and I, you know, she learned from me, she came at it honest. So yeah, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Let me get your opinion on something. When Saul and I first had our very first baby, who is now 17, we went to our pediatrician. Now, this was an old school pediatrician because...
Nicole, you may have just muted yourself.
Oh, I did just mute myself.
This is exciting.
But I was like...
We're taking over the podcast.
Please. It's our show now. Okay. Oh,
just okay. Cover for me until I can, you know, re-unmute.
It's called tap dancing in the local news world.
Yeah, just keep tap dancing, people. And by the way, as we're looking at comments here, Barbara says, empathy statements. Yay. Yes. Yay. Okay, so I need your opinion on this. Saul and I had our first baby. She's now 17. We went to our pediatrician, very old school pediatrician. In fact, he was Saul's pediatrician when Saul was a baby. So he says to us when we are holding this teeny tiny thing in our hands and we just say, what do we do? Like, where's the instruction manual? And he says to us, just love her. But remember that she is joining your family. She is not creating your family. The two of you, if you can be all right, your kids are going to be all right. And what are your thoughts on that? Because that may or may not be correct.
I love that. And we wrote about it.
Yeah.
Like, and there's, I think the chapter section is like to our kids, like, you do not complete me. You know, basically our relationship has to be the most important one. And
Kim told me while she was pregnant with Lola, she looked at me and said, promise me that we'll still be each other's favorites, which is probably the coolest thing she's ever said to me, particularly because of how much attention I crave as a person. That's just how my ego is. Like, I want attention. And so babies to me, like, I love them. I would do anything for them, but I like being the center of attention. Right? So her saying that set it up. It doesn't change the fact that there were challenges along the way. But to have that core like they gave to you is so valuable. And Kim mentioned you don't complete me. One of the things we write about in the book is that your most important job is being the audience to your partner's story, which that was told to us by our counselor. I didn't invent that. That's not me. That's our friend Christopher Edmonston who said that, which I thought was incredibly impactful and powerful in that, you know, we're pointed in the same direction and we need to hear, listen to, and go alongside that person, not completely focus on our own happiness and what we're doing. And then the kids will be part of that audience as well.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I'm a child of divorce. My parents tried their very, very best. But I think I think there were many things that wasn't the only thing that happened. But I think, like, I left for college and they got divorced because I think there was no more, like, they were able to put the issues aside and, like, they were so focused on us that while they had a distraction of us, and then they looked up and then they were like, you know what? I mean, there were many other issues, but that's why it was so important to me to make this relationship the primary one, to the point where, like, over this pandemic and, you know, we weren't doing the regular date nights that we usually have. Our kids saw that and they knew we needed that. And they would take our little office here and they would transform it into a little restaurant. And they put a sign on the door that called, what was it? Le Pouf's or something.
Le Pouf.
And they made it menus. And it was so funny. It was like Oreo nachos. And like, it was really like,
I like the Oreo nachos.
The Oreo nachos were really good.
Yeah.
But they made up a whole menu and they came in all dressed up and they would serve us. They did this several times because they'd be like, you need your date nights. Like, they know how important that, like, our relationship is. So it was really cute.
Wow. What an incredible thing for them to pick up on and how, I wonder how they'll transform that into their own relationship someday.
I hope so. I hope that they take that. And yeah, because we want them to have great partnerships. And, you know, even friendships, and they know that takes work and that's a priority.
So walk me through.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You, like, you, the two of you are my Christopher. You are my marriage counselor right now, right? And so walk me through this. This is maybe, let's say 10 years ago, 12 years ago. my husband and I are at Menards, which is the Home Depot of the Midwest. And we are walking around with our two toddlers. And for some reason, we're talking about where the cart should be put back. And as I point to one direction, Saul rolls his eyes. And I was like, oh, like Mount St. Mommy is about to erupt, man, right there in the parking lot. But I went from the cart to the fact that, you know, all of a sudden, since he got the head coaching job, he's not, but he's a basketball coach. You know, he was looking right through me. He couldn't even see me anymore. You know, he was so distracted. He wasn't helping around the house like he used to and all of this stuff. So in the middle of the parking lot, we went from where should we put the cart to like, are we even in love anymore?
Yeah.
When a person's in the middle of that, how do we stop that escalation?
Well, so we talk a lot about metacommunicating in our book, which is taking a 30,000 foot view of the fight and taking some time to de-escalate. And the first like three questions when you're in the middle of a fight, if you can manage to do this in the while you're still in the parking lot, ask yourselves these questions. Were you tired? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Were you hungry? Maybe. Were you drunk? Hopefully not at Menards. What else had been going on in your life at the time? I think that's right. The big question. So you kind of like rewind it a little bit and talk about what was happening right before that to help understand how you got to there.
And we try not to, like the term is like, don't leave the airport, meaning like our fights in the very beginning did the exact same thing.
Yeah, you just bounce
like,
around.
You wouldn't put your laundry in the hamper to, you always do this, you always do that. Like you have to stay in that one fight, which sounded like, and you probably felt loneliness, right? Like you were probably with these kids and he was off at some new fancy job. Like you were feeling some loneliness. Mm-hmm. And so I think that situation could have done with like a good, I feel like, and he's a loving husband. He probably would have wanted to provide comfort in that situation instead of, and which is what I used to do. Like, you always do this and you always do that. And like, no, I feel really lonely right now. Mm-hmm. If we could rewind, that's the advice I would have given.
Yeah, one fight at a time. And then also just look at what's like, take a second, hover over yourself and look at what's going on around you. And that'll help you form those I feel statements. Mm-hmm. Having said that, also, dude, don't roll your eyes at a woman. Don't do it.
There's never like, good.
That just never ends well. Never ends well. If you do it, don't let her see you do it. That's just,
leave the room, but just don't, that's bad.
Okay. Here's something else I'm wondering, since you all have been super, honest in your videos and everywhere else. I mean, you even wear t-shirts about it. Okay. So one of you has ADHD, one of you has anxiety. And so, And so honestly, like my husband and I pair up well with you because I have diagnosed anxiety. He has undiagnosed ADHD, which he says, why would we get somebody to tell me what I already know? Like, whatever. He's dealing. So, but have you ever used that as your reasoning for staying the way you are? This is how I react to things because this is who I am.
Yeah,
we used to what we're doing now is talking to each other about each other's deficiencies and understanding it, and then realizing that we have to move forward and work at those things that are deficiencies. By the way, I hate the term ADHD,
right?
And that's a whole other thing I'm going to talk about. I don't like calling it a deficiency or a disorder, but
it's my issue was him was I can't story. I'm not a good listener. I have ADHD. I can't listen to you.
That's how I used to say.
I have ADHD. I can't listen. Sorry. We can't. I'm like, hey, honey, can we talk? Yeah. Yeah. And then like space out. I have ADHD. And I'm like, no, you're still married to me. Like you have to like, and then.
And on the other side, Kim would, anxiety is, it's better understood now than it was 10 years ago by the entire world. Mm-hmm. But that includes me. And I would say, like, can't you just be happy for a second?
Can't you just be happy for a second?
Like, something good is happening to our lives. And so I understand now that that's who she is and that's a chemical thing. But she also acknowledged that there are certain situations in social settings where she has to work at it, just like I have to work at listening to her.
Right. And so, but it's taken just some awareness on mm-hmm. both of our parts about what that is. But
yeah,
we used to... I would say 10 years ago, we both used it as a crutch. Like, well, I can't do it. I can't move on in this situation. It makes me too anxious. I can't do, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was an issue, but I think that was part of, and honestly, that's how the fights brought us closer, mm-hmm. because we're able to understand each other more. And so, I mean, that's why it works so much better now than it did 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Sal and I are both from Wisconsin, so we could never say it to each other, but we would say to ourselves occasionally, like, buck up, little badger, like, you know, like you just got to step forward in the middle of that anxiety and the fear. You got to just step forward and sit down and listen to your wife when she wants to talk to you. So yeah, absolutely.
Buck up, badger.
Buck up, little badger.
Well done.
Okay. Like that. In 1 second, I am going to ask you for something that you want to share, whether it's an act of kindness between the two of you or something kindness related, anything kindness related, you know, it's the kindness podcast. But first, I'm going to tell you what the massive problem is with this book.
Oh, dear.
Are you ready?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm ready.
When people read this book, they are going to feel like they know you intimately, and they, not sexually intimately, but they're going to feel like they really, really know you.
We do write about that in there. So yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to be like knocking on your front door, like Southern style, bringing you a hot dish, or what do you call it? A casserole? I don't know.
Casserole. We're casseroles.
Nicole, that already happens. We're in the South. We can't get any more Southern than where we are right now.
Yeah, but we do. So by the way, Nicole, there is like a chapter and a half devoted to the sexy time topics, and it gets real personal. And my mother is a
great. This is great.
So my mother was an English teacher. She does like freelance editing now. So I had her proof it, grammar, ask like things we should expand on, things we should cut. And it was when we had the book writing process, like we had written them, but we had them staggered differently. And then the editor changed it. And so we're all kind of like working. So I gave her the wrong chapter numbers. I'm like, oh, please just don't read this chapter and a half. Just don't read these two chapters. And I gave her and she texted me. She's like, by the way, you gave me the wrong chapter numbers. Totally read it. I was like, oh, I almost puked.
Well, she was going to read it eventually.
I mean, so gross. So yeah, so my mom knows a whole bunch more about me. Yeah.
As for the people knocking on your doors and feeling like they know us intimately, I'm okay with that. I would rather them know this version of us than the version of us that they see on Facebook, because this is the real us.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something so beautiful and so kind about that. Thank you for that. Before I let you go, okay, what do you want to talk about kindness related? Do you have a story to share with us? Or, I mean, the story about your kids cooking you this, making this restaurant. Like,
that was nice.
That's beautiful. Like,
I am so, and I think we talked about this before when you were kind enough to have us on, but just how our kids have gotten through the last year. It's been a year since the world shut down. And how their kindness to each other. So I'm hoping that our relationship in a small way has impacted how they relate to each other. Mm-hmm. Because like our son had a freak out the other night. He couldn't find, he's 11 and he still sleeps with this, like his lovey, his toy, and he couldn't find it. Found it. He was kind of like, and I told Lola about it and she ran to his room and gave him a hug and sat on his bed and snuggled with him. And it was just, they have the sweetest, not always, but they have such a sweet bond that like that's like kind of what's getting me through right now.
My story of kindness over the last year is about my wife, who has very patiently helped explain to me how to be a better man and how to be a better ally. I feel like I've been a pretty kind person my entire life, but she showed me that kindness goes beyond just looking at someone and being nice to them. It goes into understanding them. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire Black Lives Matter movement, I went from being a silent nod my head, let me stay out of this, to being a loud anti-racist, which I think is the most important kindness that we can extend to anybody. And I couldn't have done it without my wife. It takes courage, and it takes a level of kindness that people don't understand. And she was very patient with me about that. I don't think that in the beginning I was like a raging racist. I really don't. And
right.
I wasn't.
Right.
But I learned more about like how being an ally and kindness fit hand in hand. And it's different from what I thought it was. And she showed me that.
thanks.
And I think that that sums up really what we hope that this book, or what I imagine you hope this book will do for people, which is, you know, for a wife to really help her husband become the best man that he can be, and for a husband to help a wife become the best woman, you know, all around that she can be. So
it goes both ways. I don't know why I just did that, but that's me saying it goes both ways.
Okay. I thought you were pointing it at me and your wife and saying, yeah, these are two awesome women. Like, that's what I thought.
You guys are awesome. But like, you just mentioned those two things. And I want to just say this for anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
This isn't just a book for women. This is a book for both.
Right.
Men are by definition less likely to want to go into counseling. They are probably less likely to buy this book, but I think they'll get just as much out of it. We already have it in our DNA to want to maintain things. We take our cars in for oil changes, and if there's something like going wrong in our house, we get a nail and we fix it.
And by he means men, but not really
men. This is men. I'm talking about
men. Other men.
I don't profile as this. But
not how he identifies. Anyway.
Yeah. But in general, we maintain things pretty well. So for some reason, we don't want to maintain our marriage unless like the tire has fallen off of the marriage and we're stuck in the middle of the road, mm-hmm. rather than just having a tune-up and an oil change. And I know this, I'm really going really far with this metaphor, but it's a good one and it works for guys. We should treat our marriages like we treat our cars at the very least. And this is what this book is about, is maintenance. It's buying it is not an admission that there's something deeply wrong with you. It's the goal is to turn a good marriage into a great marriage. And that's what we're hoping to do with this book.
Mm-hmm. And when the car gets, you know, rusty and worn out, like don't upgrade it for a better car.
Wow. That's a metaphor I haven't used yet. Yes. Keep driving the same car.
Yes. No younger models. Yeah.
Penn, Kim, it has been delightful to talk with you. Thank you so much. Everybody, the book is called Everybody Fight, so why not get better at it? It releases on March 30th, and you can find it wherever you find books. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was a conversation with Penn and Kim Holderness. Check out their new book, Everybody Fights, and connect with them at theholdernessfamily.com. Thanks for listening to the Kindness Podcast. It's produced by WOUB Public Media and relies heavily on the kindness of engineer Adam Rich. I'm Nicole Phillips. We hope you'll subscribe to the Kindness Podcast wherever you listen and find us on social media at Kindness Podcast. If you like the show, please spread some kindness in the review section. And check out my book, The Negativity Remedy, now available in stores.